This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Boon Peng. Now, is the threat of a trade war between the US and China keeping you up at night, or do you see it as merely saber-rattling by the US?
In my personal view, I do not see a full-scale trade war. Now, if you look at the track record since Trump came to power more than a year ago, he has really not announced anything on the trade front that is that drastic. The tariffs that Trump has warned about so far has been quite measured. Now, firstly, we had recently the tariffs on aluminium and steel, 10%, 20%. We also had the washing machine thing, which he announced perhaps a while back. Now, what happens if you have a full-scale, all-out trade war? I think that will certainly affect the U.S. economy and stock market. Now, my belief is that Trump's main agenda is basically to win the midterm congressional election. Because if he does not retain, if the Republicans are unable to retain the congressional majority, then I think Trump's presidency will be severely under risk, at risk. Now, therefore, the Democrats, they will keep the Democrats at bay and make sure that they do not win back a significant number of seats. Now, in order to do this, it is my view that Trump must necessarily ensure the economy continues to do well. The stock market continues to do well. And hence, I do not think that on the trade front, he will trigger something that will cause the U.S. economy and stock market to take a tumble. Now, what you can expect from him is that there will be threats of terrorists. They will say that, oh, this NAFTA is not going well. But I think all in all, I think it will remain measured. I believe that these things, these announcements that are made, are basically to allow him to negotiate trade deals with China, with Canada and Mexico. But I think he will stop short in the form of a brinkmanship strategy. He will stop short at announcing any full-scale war because it is not to his benefit. And I think it fits very well, this profile of him being more of a deal-maker.
So, Boon Peng, then, given that these are measured responses and negotiating tactics, do you think that this will have any sort of impact on emerging market economies, especially with Asian currencies and equities?
I think if it's not an all-out trade war, I believe the EM economies and EM markets should do reasonably well. Because, firstly, inflation, all said and done, remains under control globally. And I think this has something to do with the fact that wages generally in a aging population, wages generally in an economy that is full of disruption and fear of robotics replacing people, in those environment, inflation will stay low. Which means to say that although interest rates are going to move higher because we are getting a synchronized recovery, what happens is that Fed, the BOJ and ECB can afford to take its time. The Fed, of course, have already signaled the path that they are going to take. Now, given this backdrop where you have actually growth strong, you have inflation moving up, which we expect, but in a moderate fashion, and central banks generally tightening things in a more measured way, I think EM and Asian currencies, and especially equity markets as well, should be reasonably stable. It should do reasonably well. And therefore, EM markets generally, I think, will offer you opportunities for gains. But if we have an all-out trade war, that I am wrong about Trump's strategy that indeed America first and winning the electorate vote is basically being very protectionist, I think we then get an equity market sell-off globally. And I think oil prices will tank. And then I think EM economies and markets will not do well under such a scenario.
Then how about in fixed income markets in Asia? Where do you see the most attractive opportunities currently?
We have identified within the fixed income side here in East Spring two opportunities. I think firstly is India. Now, if you look at the Indian interest rates, they have risen from a low for the 10-year bond about 6.4 to 7.7 today. So that is quite an attractive move up. It is because we had a very hawkish RBI and we had inflation generally moving higher. At the same time, what we have seen is since towards the end of last year till now, the Indian rupee has also given ground. That means they have depreciated by 2%. So both on attraction of a cheaper currency and the yields, I think India basically has offers you quite good value. At the same time, what you're seeing, and as we believe, is that India is going through structural changes. Whether it be the demonetization or the GST implementation, I think we have begun to see that these effects are falling off, and we are actually seeing basically the economy doing better. If you notice, we had 7.2% in the fourth quarter of last year, recovering well from the slower third quarter of last year. So the economy is beginning to do well. At the same time, if you look at the Reserve Bank of India, theirs is inflation targeting a bit of a hawkish stance. And I think over the long term, I think these things are generally good for inflation, and therefore at 7.7%, I think it offers you some opportunity for investors to be overweight in India. Secondly, what we have been a bit more positive about is that Malaysia bonds at 4% is relatively attractive. It's yieldier than the neighboring Asian countries, right? Be it Singapore or Korea. I think the other thing for Malaysia is that we have actually ridden through. We have gone through those most difficult periods where they were worried about the debt levels, and everybody thought that the foreigners were bailed out of Malaysia at one point. But now we have weathered that. Okay, and as a result, we think that at 4% and with the currency still looking cheap, that Malaysia does offer you a moderate, a fairly good opportunity to be overweight the bond market there.
Now, where do you see then the biggest risk in fixed income markets in Asia?
Where you will basically see a risk is possibly two parts. Okay. Firstly is North Korea. I think there continues to be the tension. Right now, why is the biggest risk? Because everybody has sort of de-escalated that risk. But I think that threat continues, right? And I think it is there continues to be that risk, and there continues to be the possibility of military action by the Americans against them. But of course, this is a difficult call because it requires how the Americans can negotiate with the Chinese, because the Chinese continue, despite recent reduction in their interactions, i.e. China and North Korea, the Chinese still has remarkable or considerable influence over North Korea. I think that's the first point. I think second risk is something which is being downplayed. And it is also my view that is inflation remains more on the benign side. Now, you are seeing a synchronized recovery. The U.S. this year will move into what the economists call a positive output gap. You can see that in their unemployment rate, which is at 4.1%. Anything below 4.1%, you are more than full employment. So there is a risk that inflation comes in stronger than what the market thinks. Now, if that is the case, then the Federal Reserve has to tighten in a hurry. If that is the case, then even the ECB has to perhaps bring forward its rate increases, in which case it is not going to be so easy, therefore, for the global equity markets to continue performing, because if you look at the price-earning ratios of the S&P 500 in the U.S., 20 over time, that's a bit on the rich side by historical comparison. Now, I think the comfort for us in Singapore, in Asia, is that and also in Malaysia, is our PE is not that high. Right? Malaysia should be about 16.5 times. Historically, it's not that high. And as a result, as the interest rates are moved up globally, I think we will have some depressing impact, but I think given that we are not as rich as perhaps the S&P or the NASDAQ, that actually we should be able to weather this better. So two risks. Number one is a re-escalation of North Korea. Number two is inflation surprises us on the upside.
Thanks for your insights, Boon Peng. That was Oi Boon Peng, Chief Investment Officer of Fixed Income at Eastspring Investments from Singapore. If you are interested to hear more from Boon Peng, he'll be speaking at the Crouching Bears, Charging Bulls event on March 10th, organized by Eastspring Investments. You can get more info from their website, www.eastspringinvestments.com.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.